Wednesday, and welcome back to Tay Learning. My name is Danny.
I'm Olivia. We are your co-hosts, and we are officially in our tortured poets era.
I cannot believe that we are here. I feel like I say that all the fucking time. I feel like Olivia says we are so excited to talk about, and I say, I cannot believe. But genuinely, Olivia is excited, and I cannot believe.
This is an exciting episode.
Yeah, this is also going to be a fast-paced episode. So if you didn't read the title or you haven't kept up with us on social media lately, this episode is going to be our first impressions on the Tortured Poets Department. But here's the biggest first impression of all, okay? 31 songs? Are you shitting me?
Hello? I'm so overwhelmed. Of course I want infinite songs from our girl, right? Because, duh. But holy shit, I can't digest it. And on top of all of this, if you're not following me and Danny on social media, or if you haven't listened to some past episodes where we talk about what we're doing this week that we're recording right now, Danny and I are currently in Boston because on the day that we're recording this, Sunday before the episode comes out, we are lecturing at Harvard on Monday to talk about Taylor Swift and the podcast and what we do. So Taylor decided to drop this massive album of 31 songs on a very busy weekend for both of us. We have been all over Boston. We went to Salem to sightsee. Like, this is, we're so busy.
Yeah, we are all over the place because we decided to turn this into a bleisure trip. So business and leisure. We just have a lot going on. And because we have a lot going on, we know we want to keep y'all fed. All right, the way that Taylor kept us fed with this massive, massive album. We want to give you all the Tortured Poets content because you've been requesting it. But because we have a million and one things going on, including the not small task of giving a literal lecture at Harvard University tomorrow, as of the day we're recording this. By the time you hear this, it will be done and dusted. But to that point, this episode is going to be quick and snappy. And when we say first impressions, we actually are going to mean it. We say like, oh my God, this episode's going to be so quick. It's going to be so easy all the time. And then we never shut the fuck up. So to keep us in line today, to keep us shutting the fuck up and actually saying something of substance with the time we're allotted, we're going to put a timer on ourselves. And each of the 31 tracks is only going to get 60 seconds. We're going to talk about each song for 60 seconds maximum. No rollover minutes. If one song only takes 20 seconds, nope, doesn't matter. The clock resets.
This is kind of like perfect. This is a true first impression episode. This isn't like, I think this song could be about so-and-so. It could be about so-and-so. Oh, you're getting our true first impressions because I'll be honest, some of these songs I only listened to twice so far.
Because there's just so much. And we'd love to sit down and like constantly binge it the way that we typically do Taylor Swift albums. Like we just said, we're in Boston. We're here for business and leisure. And we've got friends here. There's so much going on. Like we're sitting in our Airbnb in different rooms with people like walking through and around us. So there's just a lot. So we had to put a timer on ourselves. And as a result, that's what we're going to do. So if you're expecting deep dives, you're not going to get the deep dives today.
Yet,
they are coming, but a really big takeaway is that it seems like a good chunk of this album is about Matty Healy, the frontman.
That's our first impression.
Yeah, the frontman for the 1975. We actually, on our list of episodes we've had this since we started the podcast, was Taylor Swift X the 1975. Like, that was always a plan. I'm so glad we haven't done that episode yet, because what the fuck, frankly?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
There's just so much to unpack there, but I was not expecting so much of this content to seem to allude to Matty Healy. Again, who the muse is doesn't matter as much as the actual content she's giving us. And a lot of these songs, this content's going to end up on a Mental Cages series. It's a pretty bleak album, but as we've discussed before and we've kind of agreed upon, knowing who the muse is and having a deep dive on what events in her life created the art helps us understand it better, relate to her more, and relate it to our lives better.
Yeah, and I think with this album in particular, like out the gate, she's being so specific down to her prologue. Like, she knows that we can put that together and know what was going on in her life, who she's talking about without her saying the name. And I feel like there tends to be some tensions within our fandom community of how far is too far in talking about her personal life in regards to her music, or like, are you a better Swiftie for not caring about her personal life, quote unquote. I have a hard time believing those people. But like, is that doing the right thing by Taylor to just like only listen to the music and not analyze her life? Or is it the wrong thing to do to analyze her life? And I feel like this album kind of gives us the answer. This is raw and vulnerable. And to me, I guess, it screams that she wants us to know what's going on in her life.
We've talked before about how she's given hints, like in State of Grace, twin fire signs, floor, blue eyes. So we know it's about Jake Gyllenhaal, a Sagittarius with blue eyes, and she's also a Sag with blue eyes. That was a really, really blatant hint of who it was about. But some people were arguing, oh, that's still too generic. She could have changed the eye color. She could have changed the star sign or changed the lyric. This album, though, is so confessional. And in the note, in the vinyl, and in the CD, not everybody has those yet. They're still shipping out. But she makes it like abundantly clear, in my opinion, the story that she's telling. She's talking about being in this relationship where her life was drained and then she got out of it, and she called it like a moment of insanity, her relationship with Matty Healy, we can assume. And then she even has a couple Travis Kelce tracks on this, which we didn't see coming. No. Listen, this album is going to be something we are unpacking for years, kind of like the Look What You Made Me Do video. So we have to keep it brief. We have to keep it short today. But trust us, it's coming. And we are going to extend our season by a week and give you a very special season finale episode. Olivia, do you want to tell them what our new season finale is? We still have a few weeks till it happens, but...
Yeah, we were discussing this earlier of like, wow, like we have the rest of the season perfectly mapped out because, you know, we're overdue for a break at this point to kind of prep for the next season to make sure everything is awesome for you guys. But given this magnificent, massive album by Taylor revealing so much more about her life that we didn't realize was as relevant as it apparently was, we need to do the Muses Matty Healy.
Yeah,
we were just... need it personally because I don't know their timeline either as of right now.
For those of you who are really on Tumblr like me, like chronically on Tumblr in 2014, you might remember the famous photos of Taylor wearing the 1975 shirt and of Matty Healy wearing the 1989 shirt on stage. I remember seeing those, but I didn't know that it was as flirty as it evidently was. So we are compiling our timelines. We are doing our deep dives in advance, and we will get you the Muses Matty Healy, which once was just supposed to be the 1975 X Taylor Swift. Wrong. I couldn't have seen that it was a Muses episode, but you all deserve that. So does she, because I feel like not talking about this obviously big impact relationship on Taylor Swift's life, despite us thinking it was brief, it had a big impact, and I don't want to dehumanize her by taking her feelings and her experience out of the situation.
Absolutely. And that's part of our parasocial relationship with her, right? Like, we view her as a friend, even though we know that she's not a friend. We know it's parasocial. But if I had a friend that was like, do you want to read some poems I wrote? And they were this 31 track list of I'm going to kill myself right now because of this man, I want to know what happened. I'm like, girl, tell me what's going on.
She's so quirky, but like, what the fuck, do you need to go to a hospital?
I'll drive you.
No, literally. So James, who's one of our friends that's on this trip with us, he sent me this message this morning and it said at Taylor Swift. And it's, you're so silly, girly. We should get you to a psychiatrist.
Love you.
Love you. Love you, Taylor. So before we do that, we said we were going to shut the fuck up and we're not right now. So we just need to jump into it. We're going to do some
housekeeping.
Housekeeping. Yeah.
First and foremost, make sure to grab your Tipsy Swifties merch. We still have the pint glasses, wine glasses, shot glasses. If you really need that to get through some of these songs, I don't blame you, but go visit our website, taylearningpodcast.com. They will be available for a limited time, likely until the end of this current season.
As always, there will be a playlist in the description of this episode. It says click here. If you click or tap there, you will be taken to a playlist of every song that we reference, which will primarily be this album. We've already dropped a couple so far, and it's a good habit to be in. So go to the description and click on that for your Taylearning homework playlist.
Also, do not forget to please rate and review this podcast wherever you listen. It really does help us continue to grow and putting out content for you. And if you do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, your review may or may not end up on the homepage of our website, tailoringpodcast.com.
And we'll meet you back here after the break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so as a reminder, we got 60 seconds. I've got a timer in front of me. No rollover minutes. And we're just going to go. It is stressful. It is stressful. But it's what we have to do. We're going to be tortured poets today. And the torture is only 60 seconds to talk about Taylor Swift. So I don't feel great. But we're just going to go down the line. Let's start. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Are you ready for it? Wow. Fortnite, go.
Okay, so out the gate, I don't want to be like one of those girlies that's like, the AI was better, because I understand that the content, the lyrics of Fortnite, the actual, are probably better than what the AI could ever be. But I just loved the vibe of the AI. And I wish that there wasn't hype around that sound, because the hype around Fortnite kind of dimmed it a little bit for me.
I would agree. I found the AI to be so boppy, and I'm really surprised it was AI because it came out so quick after the announcement of the title. I wish that there was more Post Malone, but their voices do go really well together. So he was utilized. He wasn't utilized to his maximum, but what was there was really rich.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, I like the song overall, but I need to sit with it a little bit longer to get used to it, because that AI is just ingrained in my blood.
Is I Wanna Kill Her going to be a trending audio? I wanna kill her.
It better be. Okay, up next we have the Tortured Poets Department.
Okay, Tortured Poets Department is a weird one for me, because I think this was the first one that made me clock and think, oh my God, this is Maddie Healy. So I had a really hard time actually absorbing the content and getting through it. I'm going to be so honest. I like it, but the Charlie Puth line is deeply off-putting. And it could have been anyone. She could have said Chapel Roan. She could have said anyone. And she said Charlie Puth, unless they were making fun of Charlie Puth and being like, we only said that because we were stoned, obviously. I think it's sonically fine, but lyrically a little lacking for me.
Yeah, this just doesn't really stick out to me. I can't even hum it.
Yeah, I just have the 7 bars of chocolate, Tortured Poets Department.
She did make the title track flow, which I was kind of surprised about, because I was like, that's so clunky.
Yeah, I didn't know how she was going to do that. All right. Next, My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys.
This was the first standout to me on our first listen through. I really enjoy this one.
Yeah, why?
I like the toys. Oh, it scratches my brain.
Oh, I like it too. I was surprised how well she was able to make that title like hook. Really clean, like it sounds good. It has the earworm quality that I'm looking for in a lot of Taylor Swift songs. Again, the content I haven't really had time to sit with and break down, which I know is what a lot of you come to us for. We will get there, but on vibes alone, I like it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Up next, we have Down Bad.
I can't hum Down Bad right now. I
Down Bad crying at the gym.
Oh yeah.
It's been stuck in my head all morning. That's the only reason why.
It's okay. I think I will like it more the more that I listen to it, because I remember liking it the first time we heard it, but I haven't gone back to it as we've been doing re-listens. So
it's the one where she was like, fuck it if I can't have him. And I think there's a variation of fuck you if I can't have him.
Yes. Oh, you know what? I remember I got up from the couch during this song because I realized how much of this was going to be about Maddie Healy. Like I set my drink down and got up from the couch, and I don't think I was able to really absorb this song, this sound, because all I was thinking about was that British motherfucker.
That's kind of like my overall vibe on the front half of the album, like pre 2 a.m. drop, is that like I couldn't even process it because it was a curveball that it, so much was Maddie Healy.
All right. Next up, So Long London.
I really liked this one. I want more time with it to kind of tear it apart more, but I think it was really beautiful.
Yeah, I think the beginning of that song was like so ethereal, so beautiful. I was ascending. I can't really like think of what a lot of the song sounds like right now, but that opening was just so beautiful to me. Oh yeah, okay, now it's coming to me. The I've loved you for so long, London. And I love when she has like a double entendre and a play because it's not just so long like goodbye, London. It's also I loved you for so long, and she nicknamed him London. Now, could that be both British men, both Matty Healy and Joel Alwyn? Could it be both? Sure, but we haven't deep dove it yet, so I can't say either confidently.
It's
I
such
do
a
love when
good
she's
track five, I think.
clever like that, though. I really love it.
Same.
Wasn't 60 seconds, but if they don't show up in 60 seconds to all of y'all, that's literally just because I'm either cutting it down or we're not hitting it. Anyway, on to the next.
Next is But Daddy, I Love Him.
I like this song more than I thought that I would for the title, But Daddy, I Love Him. I think it's kind of a diss track at Swifties, like low key, yeah. But honestly,
Absolutely.
she's kind of earned that. I'm gonna be so honest.
Yeah, I really love the way that she used the hook of the song. It to me is like the epitome of a country song. This was the first song I was like, wow, she has some country influence back in her music. And the story that it tells is so country-like. And I like the way she did it. And I totally buy the theories that this is kind of a generalized song of her and her love life. I'm currently riding the theory wave where I don't think it's about a specific someone.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely more of a general song, and I really, really appreciate how well she pulled it off, despite it being like a drag.
Oh, and the baby line. We were guilty of not even catching it until the last verse. And when I personally didn't even hear the no, I'm not, but you should you
You should see your
no, I'm not, but
faces.
you should see your faces. I didn't even hear it because it was commotion. We're listening in a group, you know.
I allowed over 60 seconds for that one, but only because we were gagged. Okay, so. Fresh out the slammer.
This one was so out of pocket for me, and I appreciate the pettiness of it, of likening a 6-year-long relationship to I did my time. It's done. Fresh out the slammer.
Yeah.
Girl.
Kind of gagged him. It kind of reminded me of like I Forgot That You Existed for Calvin Harris. It's like just absolutely minimizing that relationship, which is crazy, but I get it. I get it.
I like this one. I can't hum it though.
Yeah, me neither.
Just remember that content.
Florida.
Florida.
This was the first major standout for me
Yeah.
because that drop in the chorus is crazy. I don't think anybody has ever loved Florida this much. She seems
I
to like
like
it.
this one. This one was fun. I can't wait to listen to it more.
She utilized Florence Welch really well as well. Like,
Yeah, a good collab.
utilizing her female features is not something she's always the strongest at. Like, I think she did very well with like Nothing New, but she has a habit of kind of putting her female vocal partners and her collabs to the side. And she did not do that here. And that made me really
Yeah,
happy.
me too. Me too. Next is Guilty as Sin.
Okay. I really like this one.
Same. I love what it actually was because it wasn't what either of us imagined of the whole idea of if I'm fantasizing about you and I don't touch you, is that still wrong?
Listen, I clocked sexy. I clocked sexy on our
You
predictions episode.
sure did.
There were people who messaged us and was like, "You guys were kind of right on your guesses." And I'm like, oh my God, don't make my head big." But where else was this gonna go? I like Guilty as Sin. I really do. I like the
I
way
like it too.
she sounds when she's singing it. I like the content. I just gotta get the Matty Healy thing out of my head. It's really
So
hard.
hard.
Okay, next is Who's Afraid of Little Old Me?
Listen, this is both of our favorites at this point. This is the first one that I was like, there. This one is one that got me. The screaming of Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, the content of it, Mental Cages hardcore.
So hardcore. And this is like the only song on the main album, maybe on the whole thing. I haven't really dug that deep, where she actually pushes her vocal boundaries up into her upper register really well. There's a song coming up we're going to talk about where she like drops her voice low, and I love her lower register, but she pushes it here. And the content of Don't Worry, We Took Out All Her Teeth, some people don't get that. They're saying that she's not going to bite. There's so much to analyze here. Sorry, I promised we wouldn't analyze, but I love it sonically. I love the production on this. It's a great song.
Yeah, it's one that haunted me afterward, and it was definitely sonically meant to do that.
I can fix him. No, really, I can. That's the song I was referencing where she goes into her lower register and it's really rich. I don't know what key this is in, but it sounds almost minor. And I love the serve at the end of maybe I can't. Oh.
Yeah, I loved this song. It's love this song.
Country inspired too. And I love when Taylor taps into her roots like that.
I know. I wonder if that was like kind of the progression of pop, because there are other pop artists that are taking country inspiration right now, or if it was like her trying to tie back to her roots.
It's like twangy. It's giving like entering a saloon.
Yeah, that yeah. is exactly what it feels like.
I love that we both had that very specific visual of like walking into a saloon. This town ain't big enough for the two of us.
No, really.
But once again, Maddie Healy, I had my face in my fucking hands during the song.
Next up is LOML.
We nailed it. We fucking nailed it. That it wasn't just
down
to
loss of my life. Exactly. This is exactly what I wanted out of this song. I love that she never said LOML. She just spoke what it stood for and changed it. That's exactly what I wanted. I like this song.
I like how sad it was and how honest it was. I liked the production. I mean, it's a Destiner track. I knew that I was going to like it. I knew that it was going to cut deep. But I really enjoy this one. I haven't gone back to it yet. But is that because we're on a fun vacay with friends? Like a little leisure vacay, maybe?
Yeah, it's one of those that you need to sit on the floor and just listen to it by yourself. First impression gives me the vibe of Last Kiss. Like, you're not going to sit there and vibe to Last Kiss in a group of eight people. You're going to sit and cry on your floor at home.
Got to read that lyric booklet for this one, I think. Next is I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Okay. I love this one.
Yeah.
I love the contrast. Like, it sounds silly and goofy because that's how the Eras Tour feels on the outside. She likens the Eras Tour to a circus and is like, actually, I'm fucking miserable. And you don't know because I'm so good at my job.
I really appreciate the content of this. My biggest frustration is that other people who are saying, like, what does she have to be so sad about? She's a pop star. And I'm like, have you listened to the fucking lyrics? Have you analyzed her life at all? The girl has anxiety and clearly has depression and talks about it and has had suicidal ideation. This is such a great way of representing it, because a lot of times the happiest people, the most successful people, are the ones that unfortunately take their own lives, which scares me for Taylor Swift, but this is such a beautiful representation of the duality of woman.
Yeah. And just because celebrities are rich, it doesn't mean that everything in their life is beautiful and glamorous.
On to the next one. We really got to like deep dive that one for real, for real. No. Mental cages for real.
Next, we have The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived.
This one was just such a drag that I have it like a drag on someone, not like a drag, like it's a drag. So yeah. I haven't had a whole lot of time to sit with it, but I appreciated it sonically. And I liked how well she made that line hook, because I didn't think she was going to do it well. Let me send a message to the smallest man who ever lived. Gagged.
Yeah, this one I think was a standout too on first listen. But now that I've listened to more, it's kind of others are surpassing it at this point. But like I said, first impression, who knows? I ranked You're On Your Own Kid last on my first impressions of Midnight. So like, don't trust my first impressions.
genuinely, I'm pretty sure I had it low too. I think I had Bejeweled as my last one, and I really like Bejeweled now. So yeah. I don't know what the fuck to say about that. Next is The Alchemy.
This is one that didn't stick out to me on first listen, but has significantly grown on me. I think it's just the Travis Kelce association.
That's it. That's it for me too. It didn't stick out to me. If it weren't a Travis Kelce track, which if you're sitting there like, it's a Travis Kelce track, go read the lyrics and then come back to us.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, several people online pointed out that it sounds just like, so happy that my Travi made it to the big game. So like, I can't get over that.
I love it.
You love it?
I love The Alchemy.
Okay. I don't know how I feel about it. I like that it's Travis Kelce coded. That might be where I'm getting fucking sick and tired of Jack Antonoff's shit at this point in the album. So maybe if it were earlier on, I'd forgive it a little more.
Yeah. I think I just like the lighthearted feeling of the song.
Okay. On to the next. Clara Bow.
On first listen, I was mildly disappointed with this one because I wanted more Clara Bow's story. I didn't realize it was just going to be like comparing and contrasting big female stars. I wanted a story of Clara Bow, but what kind of turned me around was at the end, her pulling herself into the mix.
Name dropping herself was a crazy, crazy decision. And we need to deep dive this, but like, it seems like, oh, Stevie Nicks was compared to Clara Bow and Taylor Swift was compared to Stevie Nicks. And then who's the next? Who is the next that's compared to Taylor Swift? And my mind went to Olivia Rodrigo out the get. Same. But we'll analyze the song at another time. I think that this is going to end up clearly on Remaining Relevant.
Absolutely.
I have to bring it back and talk about, this is just another prime example of Taylor's fear of getting left behind. I do like it sonically though. I like it more as time goes on. Okay, so that ends the main track list. That closes it out. So then enter.
Wait, we should briefly talk about how we felt at this point, because we didn't think the quote double album was coming.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I'm just going to make a note on that. This is not a double album. This is an extended edition. They're going to get rated at the Grammys the same way. That was not TS-12. The anthology is not TS-12. It is the Tortured Poets Department, the anthology. That's the same to me as Sabrina Carpenter's album, Emails I Can't Send, Forward, or whatever. Like, whatever it was called. It's the same concept. It's just a big deluxe.
I guess it could be a double album in the sense of it's a double-sized album.
Yes.
But it's not like two separate albums. They're together.
Yeah, this was not TS-12 is the important thing.
Yeah.
At this point, I'll be honest, when we were listening to it the first time, and again, we listened to Midnight, I was feeling a little bit disappointed. And I hate saying that, but only because the first listen through for both me and Olivia is one of those things that we both need time with stuff in order to really appreciate it. And that goes for pretty much all music. I was disappointed because there was nothing on there that hit me in the face the way that like Antihero did, for example, the first time I heard it. I didn't have that moment yet with a song, and that really bummed me out. Again, going back and listening, there's stuff that I've come to appreciate, but I feel like this is a content album more than like a sonically pleasing album. This is for the fans. This album to me feels very clearly, this was written and delivered on a silver platter for people who know her story, not for the general public. Even now, this is not an album that I would give people to get into Taylor Swift. This is a For the Swifties album, in my opinion.
Yeah, I felt exactly the same way as you. And I think I even said out loud, I feel like trash, that I feel a little disappointed. And it's just because like, I can't unpack lyrics. I will 100% appreciate these songs when I have more time with them, exactly like what you said. For those that don't know, Tolerate It is like top two Taylor Swift song for me. And it didn't hit until Evermore was out for 6 months. I thought the entirety of Evermore was mid. And then Tolerate It smacked me in the face one day because it clicked. And I just need that time with these songs for them to click for me. Because like when I compare it to Midnight's when it came out, Lavender Haze smacked me in the face sonically. And I loved it. Mm-hmm. Like, and I didn't get that from this album on the first listen. And I'm really looking forward to unpacking and marinating with the songs.
I'm so with you. Evermore did not do much for me the first time I listened through the whole album Evermore, and now it's like my number three album.
Yeah.
So it takes some time sometimes, and that's okay. And there are people that argue like, oh, how good could Taylor Swift really be as an artist if it takes time with it in order to really appreciate it? And I'm like, that's what makes her the type of artist that she is. She's not a vibes artist. Her music can have vibes for sure, but that's never been the forefront of her artwork.
There's layers to peel back. And so every time you listen to it, there's something new. And I think that's artistry at its finest.
Yeah, artistry defined for sure. So at this point, we're both feeling a little bit bummed that there wasn't anything like that. But we were excited to see what was going to happen at 2 a.m. Again, I didn't think it was going to be an additional full set of tracks. I didn't think that was coming.
We thought it was just going to be the four deluxe tracks available for streaming.
But let's go ahead and jump into it. Now that we've had our little break moment, and we will talk about the anthology with the same rules, The Black Dog. Let's go.
This one doesn't stick out to me.
Yeah?
I don't remember how it goes.
I really liked it on the first listen. I also cannot seem to remember in this moment how it goes, but I did really like it on the first listen a lot.
Yeah, I remember not disliking it or like being disappointed or feeling like it was meh. I liked it on first listen. I know that, but I think it got overshadowed by the rest of it.
Yeah, I think so too. Since it was the opener to the anthology,
it's the one that was like, I hope it's shitty at the Black Dog that I know you're at talking to this girl. Is that one?
Yeah, okay. I liked it. I really liked it. But then we had a fuckload more of songs to listen to. So it didn't stick around in my brain through those.
Next is I'm Gonna Get You Back.
Okay. I wish she hadn't released this song. I'm gonna be honest. I like the song just fine, but it is, in my opinion, if you do not want to hear any negative talk about Taylor Swift, this is not, first of all, this is not the episode, A, but B, this is not, the 60-second block is not the one. Anyway, now that I've wasted 15 of our seconds, it is just the worst version of Get Him Back by Olivia Rodrigo, and that's upsetting.
It's the exact same concept, and I cannot believe with the weird discourse that, like, are between Olivia fans and Taylor fans that this was a good PR move. The song is fine on its own, it's just, if Get Him Back didn't exist, it'd be fine. You know, yeah. Like it'd be great. But because that already exists and it's been out.
Yes.
It's just
That clever thing. Pun was already used, and it was already used within the last year. Come on, Jack Antonoff. You knew better. Yeah. Daniel Nigro did a better version of producing it, too. So it's just, I wish this song didn't exist. The Albatross.
I like this one the more and more I have time to sit with it and tear apart the lyrics. I like it.
So we didn't really mention this before, but the first half of the album, the main track list is very Antonoff heavy. And this back mm-hmm. half is very mm-hmm. Dessner heavy. And this is the yep. first Dessner track that we get in the anthology. And I could tell that there was a shift here in production. I could tell yeah. that things were changing a little bit and it felt very deep. And I need time with the lyrics because I think for me, this is also a lyric song more than a vibe song. Absolutely. And so we'll get there. We'll get there.
So far, so like.
So like.
Next is Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus.
I do not like the title. I feel like it has to be alluding to something. Yeah. I like the song. First of all, did she drag somebody out of the closet with this track? Was are we looking at Joe? Are we looking at Maddie? What's happening here? But I like the song. Okay. I just, the title to me is off-putting enough that I need just more time to understand what the fuck she means so that I can justify the title.
Yeah, on the first listen, the title was distracting because she said it in the song in the very beginning. And we were like, whoa, 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 what? And then I kept waiting for her to repeat that part again and again. And she never does. She only says it that one time in the beginning. And it was kind of distracting for me. I didn't catch anything. Like, we were listening to it yesterday on Saturday after the album came out again. And I noticed the maroon reference, the Scarlet Maroon reference, and I missed it the first time because I was way too distracted.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Okay, on to the next. How did it end?
I remember liking it on the first listen, but I don't remember how it goes, and it's just probably one of those ones I need to listen to again.
I didn't love it on the first listen, but yesterday when we listened to it, I really liked it. I was mm-hmm. deeply surprised she did not use it to close out the album because yeah. she likes puns. Like, that's why she made Is It Over Now, the closer of the vault tracks for 1989. So that did surprise me, but I think it's a sleeper hit. I think I'll like it the more I listen.
Yeah, I agree.
So High School.
I like this one. It's so cute.
Yeah, I mean, this track is just so very clearly Travis Kelce coded. It she kind of calls him stupid. Like, what is she calls?
You know, Ball and I know Aristotle.
Yeah, we said yesterday, like, okay, she calls Maddie a drug addict, calls Joelle and poor, and calls Travis Kelce dumb for some reason. I just, we'll talk about them and how cute they are together a million more times, I'm certain. But I cannot believe we got this track on this album. And I love it. Even though I hated High School. I love this track.
And for any of you that were on our live stream while we were getting ready to listen, so many of you were like, do you think this is going to be a Travis Kelce track? And we're like, no. Hard no. Absolutely not. Would bet my life.
We can't win them all. I love that Aaron Dessner produced this as well. It just, I like this track quite a bit. I don't think I'd like it as much without the TK association.
I think that it sounds really similar to like Fearless. Like it could be on Fearless.
Agreed.
Which is cute. Next is I Hate It Here.
Okay, on the first listen, the lyrics of this really confused me because there's like a line about 1830s, but without the racist. Now, in the grander context of the song, the whole point is that like second to the neck, nostalgia is mankind's greatest weakness. And therefore, nostalgia makes everything seem better than it actually is. And that's yep. the point of this song. And I love that. I love that reminder that anywhere you go will have problems. Anywhere.
Yeah. Like, I hate it here in this time and age. I wish I was born in this century. Oh, wait, they had this pretty massive problem that I don't think I could live with. Okay, what about this century? Nope, not that century either, because there is this problem. What if I lived in this country? No, they have this problem there too. What? It's always going to look greener on the other side. There's just a different set of problems.
Yeah, there's like a Justin Bieber track, the grass ain't always greener on the other side. It's green where you water it. Like, it's not like he's a poet, but kind of popped off with that line.
Yep.
Okay, next is Thank You, Amy.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I think sonically, overall, it's like whatever. But the Petty, I love the Petty. Love it.
So quick. Like, we were like, what's capitalized there? K-I-M. Kim Kardashian. This is a Kim Kardashian diss track. And then the whole thing is just like, I didn't make that super obvious, but, and then capitalizes Kim, and then also says spray tan, and then also like screaming, fuck you, Amy, and your kid is going to know, or is going to love my songs, and we're going to know it's about you. This is just the reminder to everyone. We have a whole two-part series on The Rise of a Snake from season one about Kim Kardashian, about what Kimye did to Taylor. This is a reminder. She's not over it. I wouldn't be either. Kim tried to dismantle her entire life. I would never forgive the bitch.
No. Anyway, love this song. Stand out because of the petty nature.
Absolutely.
Next is I Look in People's Windows.
Okay, the concept of the song, very bizarre to me, but this is like a really big collab track because it has Taylor and Jack Antonoff and Patrick Berger. There has to be something here that I'm just not catching. And I think about Death by a Thousand Cuts. I look through the windows of this love and I'm like, is there a tie there? I don't know yet, but yeah. I like it sonically. Just the content is confusing to me so far.
I think it's cute sonically. And I kind of got the vibe on first impression that it's kind of just like similar to I Hate It Here, looking into other people's windows, seeing what their life is like and trying to picture herself in their life if she weren't in her own. And she feels on the outside.
How could I ever be better? And also the like, I look in people's windows and maybe we'll make eye contact and you're somewhere. I can't wait to deep dive this song because I do like it sonically. Okay, next is The Prophecy.
This one gutted me on first listen. This one is so good.
I really like The Prophecy. I like that she's basically saying, it feels like, again, I haven't deep dove it, so don't come for me, but it's kind of like, can somebody please rewrite what's happening? Now, people like to argue like, well, Taylor Swift has it all. What else could she possibly want? As we established earlier in the episode, you can have it all and feel like you don't have it all.
And reiterating again, we have not deep dove. Don't take this for like fact. But my initial like reaction and thought and connection is like a prophecy is like written in the stars. And that is a very, very used theme for Jo Alwyn. We were written in the stars. The fates and the stars aligned. Can someone please write the prophecy? Because now it's going to shit. I didn't realize it was going to shit. This isn't what I wanted in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And not being able to fix it because like it's out of her hands. It's at least the vibe I got. Next is Cassandra.
Cassandra is the most underrated track. Why is nobody fucking talking
about
it?
Why are we talking about it? It is like, I'm questioning if Who's Afraid of Little Old Me is my favorite every time I listen to Cassandra. And that is how I felt immediately on the listen. And it kind of piggybacks off of what we were saying with Thank You, Amy, that I feel like so many people minimize Taylor's lingering feelings about what happened with the Kimye drama in 2016 and her getting canceled. It deeply, deeply scarred her. And Cassandra is the perfect example of she's not over it. And I don't think she ever, ever will be. Like,
and it's sonically pleasing. Like, it's that hook of, so they go Cassandra first. It's so beautiful. Cassandra has Greek mythology stuff. It's just, it's so good.
Yeah.
Go and revisit.
Like, this is maybe be spending a little too much time. I'm so sorry. But like I have like minimal trauma from like past relationships of being accused of lying. And I wasn't. I was telling the truth. And like I was just accused of lying. There's nothing I could change because I was telling the truth. And I can't imagine that on a massive scale because I still deal with that to this day. And I'm in a good, healthy relationship of 5 years that doesn't do that to me. And I'm still sweating every time I'm telling the truth. And I feel like it's not going to be believed.
Yeah, actually, we're allowed to go over a minute for this song because people don't give it enough love. So my piece is, mine's less about relationships. My relationships have overall not been like that, but my fucking friendships have been.
Yeah.
And I've had so many friendships, even like growing up, trying to convince people that I was not lying about things and just absolutely getting butchered for it. It's insane how much not being believed about things fucks with your psyche. And it does. And I still deal with that to this day. Like, I got a bruise the first night we were here on my side, but it didn't come in until like the third day. And I was like, I'm pretty sure this is going to bruise. And this is so stupid, but I was like, everyone's going to think I'm being dramatic. But then when the bruise came in, I was like, see, look, guys, I got a bruise on my side.
No shit. We believed you.
we believed you the first time, but I've struggled with not being believed about things my entire life. So this song, absolutely gutting.
And the hauntingly beautiful imagery of, when, you know, everyone settled the shit about me, there were riots in the streets. And then when the truth came out, there was silence. Like, it was monumental for me and the world just didn't care.
Yeah, I've talked a lot about my study abroad experience on this podcast. And like a lot of awful things happened to me on that study abroad experience. And I was just not believed. And then much later, when people were like, I believe you, I can see it now, I felt vindicated, but I didn't feel healed. And
yeah,
that's
it was like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Like, oh, and oh, sorry is fine. Like, I get that there's not much else you can do, but that doesn't stop the trauma from it. So this song sonically hits it, lyrically hits it. I know we went well over 60 seconds, but this is the most underrated track in it. It is deserved to be beloved.
Yeah.
Okay. We should move on. Peter. Peter.
Peter losing Wendy.
Yeah, she has the Lost Boys
reference.
I wonder
if there's a deeper like connection there. Because like Peter, it's Peter Pan.
There totally is.
So, yeah, like you're 25, you never came back for me. That's this song, right?
Yeah. And
yeah, I think it's about Maddie Healy.
Yeah, I guess it was 25 when they first started their toured Love Affair or whatever in 2014. It's just, we'll deep dive it.
And I liked
when
it.
When we say deep dive, I just got to get this out there. When we say deep dive, we're not going to give you some 20-minute, half-baked, quickly put together deep dive, quote unquote. We really, really get into the thick of it. And so that's why, A, it's going to take time for Maddie Healy, and B, why we're never going to tell you something is a deep dive and lie. This episode is not a deep dive. This episode is... Quick.
No, like for those of you who've been here, you know we deep dive. For those of you who this is your first episode, welcome. We are just scratching the surface of our thoughts and feelings out the gate. The deep dives are coming. This is a little daunting, not
gonna lie. When we say deep dive, we do hours and hours and hours of research with multiple fact checks. Like we take this shit seriously, so we'll never give you some half-baked 20-minute deep dive.
No, hell, Harry Styles deep dive needed 3 hour-and-a-half long episodes.
Yeah, right. Plus the one in, back in season 1. Okay, next song.
The Bull Term. It's all right. I don't know. It doesn't stick out compared to the other ones.
I feel like I liked it lyrically and sonically. It kind of bored me.
I liked it at the time that I listened to it, but I can't tell you what it's about by just looking at the title.
Also, remember, at this point, it's like 3 a.m.
Yeah, we're so tired.
We've only listened to it a few times. Not really a standout, but it's fine.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe it's great. It's a Dessner track, so maybe it bangs. Okay, Robin.
The only thing I remember about Robin is I was waiting for her to say Robin the whole time and she never did.
Yeah, Robin is probably the song on the entire album that did the least for me when listening to it, both sonically and lyrically. And I do feel bad because it's a Dessner track, but it just, I'll just have to deep dive it and see how I like it. But again, it's okay if I have a lower tier Taylor Swift song on this album. They don't all have to be bangers.
The thing about Robin that's intriguing for me is like I have that same like gut reaction that it's probably would be last on my ranking right now, but I have this feeling that there's something there that just hasn't clicked. Like she kept making like Go Little Tiger references or whatever. Like it's the only thing I picked up on. And I'm like, is she mean like Robin, like a bird? Does she mean Robin, a person? Like
I felt like she's talking to her younger self. That's what I felt the whole time. She's singing to her younger self.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly,
The Manuscript. This was a good one.
Yeah. I really liked this one. Lyrically, it kind of fucked me up. Dessner track to its core. I really like The Manuscript. I understand why she ended the album on this.
The way our running theory right now is it could be about John Mayer.
Yeah, it could be about John Mayer. It could be about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Someone older.
I think that this entire album is intended to talk about all of her inner feelings that she's not been able to spill her guts on. Mm-hmm. And I felt that way about Would Have, Could Have, Should Have. And then she saw the overwhelming positive response about that song and was like, okay, so I can dig up old trauma and I won't be called, you know, whatever people could call her for doing that, a bully or holding on to the past. And I think this song does that.
I think overall with the whole album, this is like deep, deep feeling and trauma and very, very specific scenarios that exactly call out who it's about that she didn't feel like was right to release before this point. And what I feel like, especially with it being such a large album, is this was just bottled up shit over years and years and years. And she's like, I'm so tired of not telling my fans about this, because she does have a parasocial relationship back with us. And even if it's like, I'm mad at you guys, get the fuck out of my life, like get your nose out of here, like she needed to like say that. And I think that's so valid.
Yeah, I think this album has that weird juxtaposition for me of the place of saying that. It's my name to disgrace. It's my life to, or my name to besmirch, and my life to do whatever the fuck I want with it. But also, I will tell you everything. And here's the thing that I think that, you know, we've talked so much about how Taylor also has a parasocial relationship with us. But mm-hmm. Olivia, say your wonderful boyfriend did not exist and you were dating the shittiest guy in the world, like just seeing the shitty guy. And you came to me and you told me about it. My job as your friend is to support you and not talk down to you and to give you honest advice, but to not make you feel little or small or stupid. And as fans of Taylor Swift, and she has that parasocial relationship with us, just like we have one with her, there's such a difference between being like, hey, this is something that you're doing that's upsetting, and making a petition with hundreds of thousands of signatures to get you to break up with your boyfriend. Like when we criticized her mildly on our Instagram a few months ago for having positive interactions with Jackson Mahomes, despite him being a generally bad dude.
Absolutely.
We didn't start some petition to be like, never go in the box of Patrick
Mahomes. Get her away from Jackson Mahomes.
Yeah, like, okay, get him away from her, but for real. But like, we're not going to say you're not allowed to hang out with the Mahomes family or sit in the Mahomes box anymore, because it is her own life. It is her own name to besmirch. And that's a fine line. And people definitely jump over it a lot.
Yeah. And I love what you said earlier about liking it to like friends, just a normal relationship, like a real life, not parasocial relationship. Like my number one thing when my friends are doing something that I'm like, I know that guy's going to hurt you. I know that's not going to be good for you. I will not shame them, because you know what happens when you shame them? They cut you off. Mm-hmm. Because they feel passionately in that moment that this is what they want. This is everything they can think about. And you're not being supportive. Well, you may be right. They don't want to talk to you about it ever again. They're going to know, okay, you're not a safe space for me.
You're not a safe space, yeah.
And it's not like I will flip the script. Danny is in a relationship with this awful guy who is just the worst and I hate him. I'm not going to be like, oh my God, yeah, I love him. You should totally like blah, 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 date him, whatever. The conversation is, hey, I'm a little worried here, but mm-hmm. I trust you and I'm here for you.
Yep.
And let me know if you want advice on anything, or if you like, I try to be that safe space. And yeah. I don't think that the only way to get over situations like that is allowing your loved one to go through it to a certain degree, as long as there's no physical harm happening. But right. like, they need to learn their lesson themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's part of like going through life, is having these experiences that are really valuable and help form a person. And Taylor Swift is still a person. She is in her 30s. Sure. She's famous and rich and whatever. Sure. But she's still a person experiencing life for the first time, just like all of us are. This album has those moments of wildly oversharing, which we love her for. And she's telling us, I want you guys to know these things about me, because if you care about me, and I believe that you do, here is all this wildly personal information, while also being like, but to that point, you do not get to tell me how to live my life. You can have certain input on things, sure, and here's all of this wildly personal information about me so you can form your own opinions, but I'll cut the fat. You don't have to stick around if you don't want to stick around. I am making my bed. I'm where I'm at. I'm who I am. I'm figuring things out. And you don't have to stick by me. It's my good name to disgrace. And I love that. And I love that in this whole album of doing that, she's also like, and by the way, fuck you, Kim Kardashian.
While I'm pissed off.
Yeah, while I'm mad. Fuck you, Kim Kardashian, and John Mayer, eat shit.
Like, remember the time?
You said something the other day, Olivia. You said, like, maybe yesterday, that you could tell, like, oh, she got Tortured Poets out in the world, and she's moving on to the next. Because she posted that little video of, like, Travis Kelce kissing her on the cheek while she was cooking, and all these happy clips of her. She's wearing the University of Kansas sweatshirt, and she's playing pickleball with a little Chiefs paddle. It feels like she's like, okay, all this shit's out in the world now. It's yours to have. I'm moving on to my next era, because now I'm happy and healthy.
I think overall, that's kind of something I love about Tortured Poets, is I don't think it was ever meant to be the most perfect, like try to get everyone to be a Taylor Swift fan album. This was meant for those of us who are here. And I think it is intriguing to people who aren't here and they're like, what the hell is this about? And wanting to get into it. But first and foremost, it was written for us.
And I think that that's part of the reason I understand more now listening to the album, why she released this during the Eras tour, because this was, in my opinion, kind of to wrap up some past eras and get some of that trauma out there, just to be really personal. And then the Eras tour will end and then we'll get TS12 and then we'll move on. I understand it more now. Tortured Poets doesn't feel like a true era. It more feels like a cap on the Eras era, which we thought was Midnights, but it makes a lot more sense if it's Tortured Poets. We could be wrong, but that's what it feels like to me. Yeah. I get it. I get why she wanted to get this out here. And also in things that I get, people being like, she didn't sing as much about a 6-year-long relationship ending as she did a 3-month situationship. Have y'all ever had a situationship that fucked you up good? I still regularly think about the guy that I was desperately, hopelessly in love with when I was 19. Am I in love with him still? No. Do I ever want to be with him or even see him again? Absolutely not. But I think about him more than I'd like to admit. I really hope he and anyone that knows him does not listen to this podcast.
My kind of impression, not doing the deep dives on either Joe or Maddie at this point, my impression is that her relationship with Joe was going at a great pace in the beginning. Comfortable, 60 miles per hour. And then it stopped and they just didn't leave for years. And she's kind of already dealt with those emotions and everything, and deep, deep disappointment and hurt for what they once were not working. But with Maddie, a toxic situationship goes 150 miles an hour, and there's so much that happens. There's so many emotions that you don't have time to process because it's just going so, so, so fast.
Loving him was red. That's a real thing. That hyper passion, that's so, so, so real. So I get it now more than ever. And I don't really see Tortured Poets as a true era. I still see it as embedded in the Eras era, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's hard for me to imagine an entire tour of these really deeply hyper-specific personal songs. Totally see them in the mix for the surprise songs.
Yeah.
I have a hard time envisioning an entire tour or even an entire set on the Eras tour.
For sure. So that's our first impressions on this album. Again, overall, I do think it is a better album than people are giving it credit for right now. I think it just needs some more time. People didn't like Midnights when it first came out either, and it did win Album of the Year, which can be up for debate. People can debate that all the long day, but it happened. So here we are. This album has a lot of depth to it, a lot of words, a lot of things to break down. And some albums are for vibes more than anything else, and I don't think this is one of them. I think this album is for content.
Yeah, there's something magical about Taylor Swift is that people who identify as Swifties have different favorite albums and they all do different things.
Yeah.
And it kind of broadens music taste sometimes when you're a Swiftie, that she introduces you to something that you didn't even think you'd consider to like. I love the Lover Midnight's poppy stuff. That's my preferred vibing music, but I do appreciate a good cry.
Yeah, I do too. I want her to get away from the synth pop. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. I think that she has so much potential as an artist and that she should expand those horizons. I don't want Jack Antonoff to hold her back. But even as a Bleachers fan, even as a Jack fan, I'm kind of feeling that happening a little bit. So I hope we move away from the synth pop thing as we move forward into TS12. Yeah. But I'm not going to give her the hyper criticism because this album wasn't about the music, I don't think, as much as it was about the content.
She challenged herself on a vulnerability level.
That's a really good way to put it. The challenge wasn't about the music. The challenge was about the content. We'll move on to the next. I guess it broke a string of records, as we know. It had a hell of a debut, and people are going to be breaking this down for a long time.
Us included.
Right? What did you learn this week?
Oh, God. learned Maddie was a big deal to her.
Yeah, literally, I think that's what everyone learned, was that Maddie Healy had some fucking impact.
Wow. It changes the lore completely.
It does. It really, really does.
To deep dive it.
I think that might be the biggest takeaway. That, and she's still really fucking mad at Kim Kardashian. We've been saying this.
Yeah,
We have been saying that she has not forgiven her and that she probably never will. But the confirmation feels very validating on our end.
Yes, it does.
What are we talking about next week?
So next week, we're continuing the Tortured Poets content. We are going to marinate with these songs. When I fly back to Michigan from Boston, I am going to have it in my little ear listening. And we're going to compile our true ranking. We're going to sit with these songs a little bit more, give them time to develop, and we're going to give you our ranking.
Yeah, Jesus, this will be fun.
Because right now, I can't rank it.
No way. And even for that one, because there are so many songs, we're still going to have to be quick about it. So this might just be a piecemeal of deep diving these songs. Or if you have specific songs you want us to dive into a little bit more in our ranking mm-hmm. episode and kind of give an idea of what we think they're about, please message us on our social media, which is...
You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Taylearning Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Taylearning. You can email us, taylearningpodcast@gmail.com. You can also submit contact forms through our website, taylearningpodcast.com. We would love, love, love to hear what did it for you with some of these songs. Like, if there's something you feel like we're missing, please let us know, because the whole next week is us just digesting these songs, and we would love to have your input on what makes them special to you.
Send in those thoughts, those comments, those concerns, whatever. We are going to use them to build our episode. I cannot believe we're here. I cannot believe we've heard it. And at the time that you're hearing this, we will have already done our Harvard lecture as well. So we've just got a lot of stuff going on. Our Little Tortured Poets babies. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being a Tay listener as we go through this. This is so much fun to do with people. We had our community, our Little Tay listener community, grow quite a bit after the release of Midnights. I anticipate the same for Tortured Poets. So just thank you so much for being here. And we love you. We love doing this with you.
Ditto on everything Danny just said. And I can't believe we're entering this new era together. Right. I cannot wait to unpack it all with you.
We'll talk next week. Love you. Goodbye.
Bye. Send us your rankings too.
Okay. There's so many songs. We're going to be okay, right? We're going to be okay.
We have to be.